Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and alongside me is Sarah Wells, Kevin Tinkin, and Jane Fancy Lady Fawcett.
Hello!
That was really a child voice.
That's Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Hello. My face is in Meringue Pie right now. You can't tell, but I can.
That's a classic movie.
We watched that the other day and laughed.
When Jane walked into the building today, she literally just walked in and didn't say a word. And she said, or she just raised her hands and went, "I'm here." And I was like, "Whoa, Jane, get a little full of yourself being on the spout."
When did I do that?
When you walked in the room.
Jane's a big deal.
Liar.
This is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
It's literally like this podcast
you're
has.
You're giving me that kind of a representation to.
Just plowing through.
Hey, Kev.
So, guys, here's the deal. I want to do a podcast where me and Jane just argue. And I think it could be like a solid, like, I don't know, like 12%
of the podcast. I don't want to do a podcast where you and I argue.
I think you do.
I don't.
There's accusations.
You do. I do not.
Well, we've got a good show for you guys
today. I'm Sweden.
Today. Yeah, you're always neutral. We've got a good show for you guys today. Besides me and Jane arguing and Kevin making the jokes and Sarah being neutral to everything, first of all, we're going to talk about Brad's sermon yesterday on 1 Corinthians 3, kind of 10 through, I don't know, like 19 maybe. And then.
I don't know. I'm neutral.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's on the your foundation should be in Christ, as well as we're going to do some news and talk about our one and why, our favorite or our least favorite stocking stuffer, our weirdest stocking stuffer we've ever had and why, as well as I'm going to bring a list of the top 5 things to buy this Christmas season.
Oh.
And, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. As well as we're going to have an interview with Jeremiah Spears, our student ministry's spiritual formation director, and then we'll close out the show with some announcements. And today's music, everybody's gonna make fun of me, but I'm in the mood.
Justin Bieber,
MXPX, Rock Christmas.
Oh gosh, I'll have an opinion about
Christian,
that.
You should let other people pick the music every once in a while.
It is really hard to do this show and pick all the music when Sarah's not in the office, nobody's around.
What? The one Monday I'm not in the office.
All right.
Why don't you figure it out on Mondays? Hey, somebody,
I did.
I was sitting there. What about me?
It is 12% of the show.
Yep.
All right. Stay tuned for some sermon discussion.
He says, "I laid the foundation, someone else is building on it. Each one ought to take care how he builds on it. For no one," verse 11, "can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ." He's saying, look, the foundation is already set. It's critical, it's set, it's in place, and it's nothing but Jesus. So don't mess with it. It's done. It was in Acts where it said that Jesus is the only name on heaven or on earth by which a man can be saved. There is no biblical foundation other than Jesus. He's what the text would call the chief cornerstone. He's the rock of offense. He's called the stone of stumbling. He's the one that Peter in Caesarea Philippi says, "I think you're the Christ." God says, or Jesus says, "Good for you. God gave that to you. The rock of truth that you mention of me being the Christ is what I'm going to build my church on." Not Peter, the truth of Jesus being the foundation stone. That's the foundation.
That is a clip from Brad's sermon. I know it ends a little bit abruptly, but the next part really, he keeps going, and it should end right there. You should have taken a longer pause, but I'm not here to critique Brad's sermon. All right.
Who are you?
You're not. But if in case you missed the message, this is kind of the tail end of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, kind of going off of Jared's message last week, talking about how we need to go from kind of being spiritual babies to having solid food, mm-hmm. talking about the divisions in the church, verses 1 through 9. And then now we're getting to verse 10 through 23, I believe, Sarah. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which is talking about essentially we need to build our foundation as believers. He's talking to the church of Corinth, saying your foundation is in Christ and Christ alone. And he talks about how there are people in the church whose foundations are in different things. I believe he talks about that in like verse 12. It's like gold and... What are the other ones on there, Sarah?
Gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw.
Right. And so it was kind of a lot of scripture all encompassed into one. But one thing that Brad did focus on in a part of that clip that I just played is that sometimes people's foundations was in certain people. They mentioned Peter, mm-hmm. and we've heard the passage before, and there's much debate and controversy in the church about the rock being Peter. Have you guys heard this before? Mm-hmm. That's how the Catholic Church is founded, based upon Saint Peter. And so, no, the rock, the foundation is in Christ and Christ alone. So that's kind of the basis of what the message was. Go for it if anybody got anything out of it.
Yeah, it's me and my buddy JP were talking about this the other day, and it got real deep. We had a group of guys over, we were hanging out, and then everybody left. It was just me and him. We started talking about this, and this meaning that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and mm-hmm. no one gets the Father except through me, blah.
Right.
You know, that stuff that's like paramount to everything that's amazing in the world that I just recite, like, man, you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
but we were comparing it to other religions and things like that, and it was the fact that the only Christianity is the only religion that gives you an out, which is Christ,
right?
You know, sacrifice on the cross. Because everybody else who's trying to supplicate with all these extra things, like you see the Buddhists, you know, they have their monks that literally their job is to clear everything out of their life so they don't need anything. Mm. But if you need anything, you screwed it up, like right. you didn't do it right.
Right.
And Christianity is the only way that, you know, to follow Christ, to say that, you know, I am putting my faith in Christ and he's going to live through me. And that's how I'm going to get over the fact that I'm a complete and total screw up.
Right.
And it's just good stuff. Like, I don't know why we want to add extra stuff, but we do.
It is interesting. I think that there's, in a lot of different religions, there is like the foundation of this faith is in Buddha, or the foundation mm-hmm. of this faith is in whatever that may be. But you're right in the fact that it's like the only thing that you need to like the only religion where you actually, I could be wrong here, but the only religion where you actually accept somebody into your life and have a relationship with mm-hmm. instead of them being a distant God is with Christ.
Right.
We're the only religion where the thing that is focused on is alive. Every other religion, their hero, their whatever they're believing in, they died and they're dead.
Right.
And they're still reliving what they said or whatever. But Jesus conquered death. We're the only one that worships something that is alive right now.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just interesting that the ultimate position of a Christian, like, and this is obviously taking a slice off of something, but
right.
Like the what it is to be a Christian is accepting Christ into your heart and accepting the fact that his son died on the cross for us.
Right.
And every other religion has like something that's more than that. Like I mentioned with the monks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like there's this extra stuff you got to do, and it's like literally.
Well, yeah, and Brad even mentioned that even in the clip, and he's like, no, the foundation is literally in Christ, and that's it.
Right.
You know, you don't need anything else in it. And, you know, that's why I think that so many different religions, they place their faith in so many different things. Right. And even when you break down Christianity, I think that there's different forms of Christianity, mm-hmm. different sects of Christianity, Catholic, Protestant, whatever. And it's mm-hmm. like they start making up these rules and they start building their foundation off of these rules. You know, there's churches that have their foundation of the rule of, you know, there has to be a... call and response, or you have to be baptized, or you have to be dedicated as a baby, whatever that is. There's stipulations on you can become a part of Christianity if you do this. I think of the Catholic religion, and I'm not trying to pick on it. I'm just using that as an example of, you know, you have to be baptized mm-hmm. to be part of that, and you have to, attend mass and mm-hmm. take communion every single time. And it's like, well, that is your foundation.
Mm-hmm. It's all works-based instead of...
I mean, not all of Catholicism is works-based.
Well, you're saying that things are works-based.
Those things right there are works-based.
Those specific ones, but I think there are different, like... Baptist, for instance, I know this is a works-based thing. A rule is that you can't dance or whatever. And so they lay their foundation of the church on all these mm-hmm. other things, and you can't dance. That's why so many churches are going going non-denominational.
Yeah.
And I know that they wouldn't say, like, you're not a Christian if you don't. Like, they wouldn't make it salvific, but they make it, it's a Christian rule.
But they that's like their foundation of that religion is based on all these things. Yeah. And so generations later, that's still their foundation.
Yeah. Well, it's the same like idea of like, don't have sex before you're married, so don't even kiss. So I feel like it errs on, those things are erring on like a legalistic side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, but that's the that was why different religions were formed, all because everybody had different ideas on what scripture said or what the foundation really should be, when in reality it's just about Christ.
Well, I think it's people putting the cart before the horse. So if you're living as a Christ-like person, a Christian, then you will look like, you know, X.
Right.
And this is, and they go, well, is it, so you look like, so we all have to wear robes.
Right.
Yeah. Or you're not a Christian. They're like, no. And that's our whole model of the seven.
The anatomy of a disciple.
The anatomy of
a
disciple.
It's not seven anymore. There's eight of them now.
14, the 60, the 63. Right. The anatomy of the disciple. I love that it's the core. That's like, you know, this is it. And then this is what it flows out of. Now, if you've got all these other things, and you're perfect. Like, you're perfect. You giving and all this stuff, but the core's not there. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Because totally.
That's without Christ. Like, that is what everything hinges on.
I'm really sorry.
Jump it.
I think it's even tying into what we went through in Galatians of it's only Christ, and that's it.
Right, and in Galatians, they addressed Mormonism in during that series, and just talking about how they've got all these outer rings of the anatomy disciple pretty good. You know, right. they are actually biblically formed. They are sacrificially generous. They are really morally discerning, and I think, you know, maybe culturally engaged. I don't know, but I'm just saying they've got all these outer rings really well, but the core is, are you humbly submitted to Christ? And their answer is, no, we're humbly submitted to Joseph.
Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
Yes, but, yeah.
No, go for it.
No, it's yes, but.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you humbly submitted? Yeah, but, and. Oh,
and Joseph Smith.
Yeah, I don't want to speak too much for him, but yeah, I think that's accurate. I'm still blown away that Baptists can't dance. That just feels like,
true.
That just, you know, when I think of a Baptist, I just see dancing.
You can't
in my
really
mind.
Play cards either.
You can't play cards.
You're probably thinking Southern Baptists, that they can dance. It's the conservative Baptist cannot.
I just think Mennonite.
Also,
I remember something that is a vertical expression of a horizontal desire.
But, oh my gosh, you make that up?
No, I didn't. I've heard that. People
that's
have said
hilarious.
That.
Yeah,
people
but like I think of Fresno Pacific as a Mennonite school, and I actually really feel like Fresno Pacific and their Mennonite way is what they'll call it. I mean, I really feel like they really want you to look at Christ as your foundation, and your faith should be in Christ and Christ alone, and everything should kind of flow from that. Mm-hmm. But even, you know, religions or schools or whatever that I feel like get it right, I think there's just some outer ring stuff where if you start to put those as like, okay, yes, Christ is your foundation, and you need to do this. You know what I mean?
And what my struggle used to be, I'm a recovering legalist, is it's Jesus Christ, and then but if you really love Jesus Christ and if you're really a believer, then you're not going to struggle with these things. You can struggle with these things, but if you struggle with these, I don't know. I don't know if you're a believer, because real solid Christians probably don't struggle with this.
Right.
And now, like, that to me, like, just puts God in a box. Like, that means that God isn't in process with these people who struggle with blank, whatever. Right. And everyone has their own unique journey. And that's why the Lord is so beautiful in that way, because he's like, his people are so diverse, and we all struggle with our own thing,
and it's realizing we're not ever going to be perfect until we're with Christ.
And well, who am I to say people can struggle with something and they can't struggle with another thing? Right. Like,
what's cool though is like, even Paul kind of gives us this example. Just if you look at how 1 Corinthians is laid out, Paul has really spent the last three chapters pointing towards Christ, trying to get the church of Corinth in his letter to really realize, look, I'm about to tell you some stuff that are going to sound, in maybe their context, but in our context, this could be skewed as legalistic, or you're just giving us these rules, Paul. And he's not really giving him the rules. He's giving him a biblical foundation. He's giving him some things to think about as far as like, here's how to be a disciple. But first three chapters, you guys as a church of Corinth need to humbly submit to Christ, and you need to realize like, look, Christ is your foundation. And kind of after chapter three goes, we start getting into some of these things that Paul begins to flesh out to. Here's some areas I see you as a church struggling with.
It's kind of like giving the answers before he even like addresses the questions. Like,
well, he gives the foundation before he builds the house, in a sense.
Yeah. Like, I'm about to like drop this bomb on you, right, but like, yeah, fix it. But like, don't let that like totally ruin you, because Christ, like, right, that's what you need to fix your issues. And like,
right. And yeah, I think that's good for the well as a whole to recognize that, hey, before we get into some of these issues, we've just now spent the last 2 months pointing back to Christ, pointing back to God and our salvation and the gospel and everything we know as the core of who we are as a Christians. Let's get that good. Let's lay that foundation down, and then let's start building. So,
setting them up for success. Yeah.
Well, and the only way you can fix sin in your life is through knowing Christ crucified and knowing the gospel. Anything other than that is just behavior modification. And it doesn't, it's not an internal change. It's just a, oh, I made myself stop drinking, or, you know, whatever.
We should start a Legalists Anonymous group.
Sarah would be
hi, it. My name's Kevin. I'm a legalist.
It's supposed to be anonymous.
Yeah.
I think is that you started off? You say the name? I don't know. We could have Sarah, like, you know, be wearing a pin that says like 3 days, and she just randomly
three days no judgmentalism.
She has to throw it down when she's like kind of winces at somebody listening to some music.
Right. Someone today told me, someone I love very dearly, she said, Sarah, you are judgmental. You need to stop.
Boom.
I thought I was over that.
Did she prepare you like Paul?
She just dropped a bomb on me.
Christ, and you're judgmental.
Well, that's a good place to end. And if you haven't heard Brad's message, there was actually a lot more to the message than what we just focused on. But I think it was a good chunk of the message.
That's why I like what we do on this podcast, because we'll take the sermon and we go off on all sorts of tangents and nothing about the sermon. But there's so much you can glean from the text.
Right.
So much more.
So
than
listen
just
to Brad's message.
Okay, I'm done.
All right. Up next, some news and some one of wise.
So this is Christmas, but there's no snow outside. It's not the way that I remember what happened to the way December was. So this is Christmas. I don't have much worth to give. This is Christmas. Find it in your heart to forgive, cause this is Christmas time. Grant me full body and I'll make it up to you, cause I screwed up so many times now. My emotional
the news with the Spoutcast crew.
All right, we are back, and we're going to start off with some one and whys, and then we'll get into some news slash the top five gifts to buy during this holiday season.
Can't
for
wait
your
to
loved
hear it.
Ones. So,
oh boy.
Yeah, first of all, we're going to start with our one and whys in that what is the worst thing we've gotten in our stocking and why? Or the
not
weirdest,
the worst, it's just the weirdest.
Weirdest thing we've gotten in our stocking and why? And so, I'm going to let you guys take some emails, and then we'll get into what ours are. Okay. So why don't we start with you, Jane? Did you get an email this week?
Sure did.
Who's the email from?
Mr. Wes Crockett.
And we apologize that Megan is not here.
Sorry, Wes. Sad you're going to have to just let me read your email this time, okay? Let's be friends. So Wes says, hey, all, worst thing in my stocking. My mom is always gung-ho about stockings, so it's hard to come up with the worst thing. I guess I'd have to say that every year my mom gets my dad and I some sort of dart gun, but then never lets us shoot them in the house. It's got to the point where I would rather her not get them for us anymore, because I have about 8 different ones laying around the house. I really don't need them. Have a good one.
You know who else has a lot of dart guns?
Dave Johnson.
Do I?
Dave has dart guns too.
I can shoot daggers out of my eyes. I don't need a dart gun.
That's right.
Dang.
Well, Wes, thank you. Sir, I hope you get one of those this year as well.
Wes, come on, man.
But when you get a dart gun and you can't shoot in the house, what's the point?
Go outside, man.
Oh my gosh.
Go outside, man.
Christmas and it's cold.
It is cold. Hey, I think here's the bottom line, Wes, is I'd like a dart gun.
You have eight, so
yeah.
I would
he
like
can spare one, probably.
I'm talking to the mic. I'm putting on my shoes.
All right, Jesse's Sarah, you got an email as well?
I do, from a dear friend, Miss Beth Nicoletto, who I'm quite surprised she wrote in.
I'm not sure if she listens, but I do post on Facebook every once in a while. So, Beth, if you're listening, thanks for being a listener.
Thanks.
Beth, if you're listening, I love you, Bethy.
All right, go for it.
Okay, she says, at 22 years old, I got a lump of coal in my stocking. Apparently, no. I was a bad girl. Awesome. Thanks, Anna.
Wow. I think I got a lump of coal gum one time. Like, that was the joke. Like,
selling that at Trader Joe's.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
A pretty
Trader
Joe's. It's really popular right now. So, Jane, why don't we start with your one and why? What is your weirdest thing you've ever received in your stocking and why?
You know, my mom's actually really good at stocking stuffers. I'd have to say the only things that I don't like love a ton is. Like, sometimes she'll do, like, here's a notepad, post-it notes, stuff like that, where I'm just not going to use that, Mom, but thanks. Or, like, another thing of chapstick.
Gotcha. Mm. Stockings are meant to replenish your old stash.
Yeah, like, sometimes she'll get, like, mascara. That's awesome, because I don't want to fork out $6 for mascara right now.
So, Sarah, what's your one and why?
My mom usually hits up the Dollar Tree pretty good for the stocking stuffers. So every year I get something really weird, usually a glittery nail file that doesn't actually work. But it's just, all weird nail polish. But the best thing I've ever gotten is it's a little contraption that it's like a little vacuum thing that you put on your face and it sucks out your pores.
Shut up.
She also got it from the dollar store.
Does it work?
No.
I thought you were going to say the thing that like gets the fuzzies off your sweater.
No. It sucks out your pores. And it's like, Mom, do I need this? I just thought you might be able to use it. Oh, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mrs. Wells.
Yeah. Peggy. You can call her Peggy.
Pegs.
Wow.
Kevin, what is your one and why? What's the weirdest thing you've ever received in a stocking?
As I listen to everybody talk, like I get this very like we're spoiled like thought. And I think about it.
First world problems.
Yeah, total first world problems. Like, I got a pair of socks in my stocking, and I was like, this is bull. And I was like, I don't need any socks, okay? No, that is my one and why. I didn't realize that we were kind of like not doing great financially growing up. I always thought we were, we were in big time. We were doing it big. I mean, we had running water. Indoor plumbing. I don't know if you guys got that. Have you seen that? Have you ever used a toilet inside?
What is brilliant. That?
You don't have to have a long johns with the, the door on the back. You can just wear regular clothes.
Totally.
I always used to get things like socks and, pins. And I know that it was just like, oh, he needs socks.
Yeah.
Because he's got holes in all of his socks. And so I just put them in the stocking. And I was like, socks, come on, man. And that's
now
good.
Years later, did you realize it was just your parents replenishing your stocks sock stash? Or
I think that's exactly what it was. And then now I'm 30 and like I still have stock. I still get a stocking. Like Jenny's grandmother, my grandma, and she does a stocking every year, and it is stuffed like to the rim. It's a big old sock. It's like a giant sock.
Right.
Well, that's what a stocking
is.
In case you don't know what a stocking is, it's a big sock.
Like Goliath sock.
Something. And there's always all this candy and stuff in it. And I'm just like, I'm really fat. Like, you need to stop.
Share it with the Spoutcast crew.
Yeah. No, I'm going to have to. It's like, that's like the worst thing.
I love the Reese's peanut butter treats. Just so you know, favorite.
Yeah,
well,
I love them
when,
too.
When I was a kid, I did pretty much get.
I love them too.
When I probably got some of the same stuff. I got socks and boxers. And then as I grew up.
Poor vacuum?
I did not get a poor vacuum.
I'll bring
no.
you mine.
But over the years, my parents quickly realized, like, well, Christian doesn't really care about any of the candy stuff that's in here. I'm not a big candy guy. So they always would give me movie certificates or movies that they'd find at, like, you know, the dollar bin at Target mm-hmm. or Walmart or wherever. And I remember one year, this was like...
Those are probably your favorite movies ever.
Well, most of them were good, except for this. This is the weirdest one. I never have quite understood why my parents... got it for me, and I'm not even sure if it was my parents. It may have been my brother. I never quite figured it out, but I come downstairs in the morning. I'm an adult now. I'm not living at home, so I slept at my parents' house that night. I come down. It's 9 o'clock. I'm getting ready for my stocking, and I go and peek at my stocking, and I see a pink DVD case, and I think, what movie is pink? And then as I
Legally
look closer
blonde.
And I pull it out, it's the movie 27 Dresses, and I thought... This is just about the weirdest Christmas.
Did you keep it? Christian, I love that yeah. movie. Oh, my gosh. Benny and the Jets.
Well, Jane, I will give you my 27 Dresses copy because I was not as thrilled as you are.
Jane's going to keep going it's until you stop John her. Song. So you cut her
so
off.
That, oh that was a stocking stuffer that I thought was the weirdest, and I still am not sure why I received that. But speaking of Christmas presents and stockings, I've got the top five gifts that you should buy your children or...
Or Mission Christmas.
Or people. No, these aren't... These are like actual gifts.
Well,
sorry, that sounds
oh
bad.
Oh my God. You're going to have to reverse that.
Here's what I'm trying to get at. These are gifts that...
yeah, that you would give mom or something?
Just buy these. Buy these for Mission Christmas.
Own it. Own it.
All right. So...
Oh, that was great.
I'm
that
sorry, Anvil hey. And Mission Christmas team.
These are real gifts. hey, all so right. This is a good moment to plug. So Mission Christmas, yeah. If you have a real gift... bring it to the church for Mission
Or if you
Christmas.
Want to buy one of these top five gifts, bring it to the church or the thrift store for Mission Christmas.
This
do it.
This is
I
the last really Sunday you can do it.
I right. feel like you need to buy one of these gifts now and bring
do it.
It.
All right. Well, I'll do it. I'll do it.
That's
so
like
here
the swear
are the top
jar
five
for you.
Keep going.
Because this kind of, this talks about five different people, and here are the best gifts, top five gifts of the Christmas season. The number one or the number five gift of the Christmas season is... UGG boots. And
are those still around?
They are.
Heck yes,
these
you're
are the best
some.
Christmas
right.
gifts
imitation,
for
but...
mostly women. So if you want to buy UGG boots, it does not have to be an actual UGG brand boot, but these are very popular gifts. They're cheap at Costco. Just informing you guys, they're comfortable. They're
I'm wearing some now.
Yeah, Sarah's wearing
okay,
some now.
Okay, but the ones at Costco are not real UGGs.
No.
They're emus.
What are they? That
This is the Tall boots are top Christmas gift as there is no better feeling than dipping the feet into a snug and warm boundaries of a tall boot in cold winter while still making a fashion statement.
Wow. How much do those people get paid to write?
A lot of money.
I feel like you should say that with a deeper voice with some ambient music
I
in the background.
Like maybe an English accent. Standing around a fireplace in my pajamas listening to them.
Another hot item. And
our
this
fireplace
is also an
doesn't
item
work, Jane.
For females, actually, mm-hmm. Kevin. So this is not for the males of the world, but maybe right. maybe some males out there.
You can get
number,
this for me for Christmas.
The Kevin. Number four gift is what is called a GHD hair straightener. Apparently, it's a really big deal right now, and basically, it's favored by a lot of women celebrities like Jennifer Aniston and Cameron Diaz.
How much is it?
I don't have the prices on here.
It's going to be pretty steep.
Didn't do my research.
Jennifer Aniston uses it.
Didn't do my research. Sorry.
I just use a clothing iron.
I bought a ceramic hair straightener for Jenny a couple of years back. And
oh yeah,
it was very expensive.
Did yeah. she still use it?
She's but I was like, you don't.
You guys
want to
know
so
something?
Beautiful.
I bought my wife for Christmas.
You don't need it.
Does she listen?
She doesn't. But if she happens to listen to this show,
I know
show,
what you bought her.
Yeah, me too.
I did get her, no joke, a hair straightener for Christmas.
Oh,
oh, I thought you got her.
I got her other stuff.
Okay.
But she was at Costco. She saw a hair straightener there, and she said, I heard a lot of people like that, and so I got it for her.
I'm just glad you didn't say a poor sucker.
No, I didn't get a poor sucker.
Well, you got her Birkenstocks, too.
Hey, oh, that gosh. Is... What happens if she listens?
She's not going to listen.
Then she knows both of her presents.
Hopefully she doesn't. Now, another gift that I think is a little on the pricier side, but this is the number three gift of the season, is a Kindle.
I would say that the hair straightener is more expensive than the Kindle.
You really think so?
Absolutely.
Well, Kindles are $79, upwards towards $200 for the Kindle Fire. Kevin, you have a tablet, right?
Oh, yes.
Do you enjoy your tablet?
I love it. I have a Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1.
Well, the Kindle Fire, I hear, is really good.
I got a Kindle Touch for my birthday.
Yeah, I did see that.
It's pretty cool.
Interesting fact.
Yes.
When Amazon sells a Kindle Fire, they lose, I believe it's $50 to $100 automatically.
What?
Why?
Because they're actually selling it for less money than it costs to make it.
But they're just trying to get people to their website to buy stuff off the Droid market.
That's it.
Wow. Dang. We're on to them.
They are smart.
No, you're not on to them. I mean, that's just a good deal. Like, yeah. I mean, you are on them. You're on to them. But I'm just saying, like, that's good.
That's
like,
smart for them, because I've probably bought well over $100 worth of music just on Amazon alone.
Huh. Oh,
because
for
of
sure.
The simplicity of how easy it is. So another thing, the number two thing to buy this Christmas season is actually the black Wiimote controllers. It's very popular.
Interesting.
Yes.
Why?
We
do
should
they
get
have
one, Jane.
Special buttons?
They do not have special buttons. They
the
are just
awesome
black.
Awesome button.
This is awesome.
It just says that every time you press it.
I do have a picture of the black
I'd like to see.
Wii controller.
It's just this. It's the exact same thing, but black.
Right. And the number one, are you guys wanting to know the number one gift?
Yeah.
The number one gift to give
what?
This Christmas
oh,
season.
Oh, it's a drum roll.
Kevin, what do you think it is, actually?
The number one gift?
Yeah, to give this Christmas season.
Something
I know.
Apple product.
Did
iPhone 4S.
No.
A Bible?
I'm going to say it's an iPhone 4S.
Okay. And what do you think?
What? She
James?
Said that.
I said it too.
I were on the same team.
You said a Bible?
Yeah.
No. You guys are close, but the number one gift to give this Christmas season is actually an iPhone 4 case.
I need one of those.
I do too.
You can buy cool, creative cases for people in the family.
Story.
Yeah.
Cyber Monday. I found it.
Sorry. I'm my bad.
I found an iPhone case for my iPhone. Course from J. Crew. It was gold and sparkly, glittery,
fancy.
Gorgeous. Oh,
fancy
I loved
lady.
It. I loved it. I got it in the mail on Monday. By Thursday, it was already breaking.
Yeah.
So I took it back. That was a sad day.
Wake
so.
Up, Kevin.
That was a great story. Thanks.
I need a new iPhone 4
I got
case
a story.
For Christmas.
Do you guys want to hear one more news story I just picked up that we can comment on? Or,
yes.
All right.
Go. Do it.
Kevin, you may have heard about this, but Alec Baldwin got thrown off an airplane for playing Words with Friends.
No way. I didn't know that.
Oh, I'm playing it right now.
So,
why'd that happen?
I don't
understand.
You know how when you're on an airplane, they tell you that you need to turn your electronic devices off?
Right.
Well, Alec Baldwin was trying to finish a word on his Words with Friends thing, and they had asked him to turn his cell phone off, and he's like, I'm gonna play with Words with Friends. I'm gonna finish this word. And then he came back from the bathroom. He got up out of his seat to go to the bathroom before the plane had taken off, kind of unloosened his seatbelt or whatever, and then all of a sudden, like, the flight attendant got super mad at him because he wouldn't turn his phone off, and so he slammed the bathroom door and then got kicked off of the airplane.
Wow.
I'm dead serious. And then tweeted about it later saying, like, didn't know you could play Words with Friends. If you want to kick me off, kick me off. He said, the guy, the flight attendant said, he's crazy. He just flipped out. That guy has problems.
Nuh-uh.
Wow.
And
that's
Scrabble's getting
sauce.
Controversial.
Fight a nickel for every time I got in a fight over Words with Friends.
I want to sell the ladies out here.
Yeah.
If this was a
sell
video
out.
A video podcast, oh you would see periodically the girls picking up their phones and playing games on them and stuff. I'm like, we're like doing a podcast
Kevin,
here. And you're like,
but this is the thing. You're going to
triple word score.
You're going to do that to us, but we can do that because we can multitask.
Absolutely.
It's actually not true.
We haven't skipped a beat at
you
all.
Are actually lying.
Actually, in the next segment, you're going to watch Jane skip two beats because we pre-recorded that segment, and you're going to watch
Boom.
Jane fumble the ball twice. So I'm just going to...
How
did I
fumble?
Well, just wait
you
until the next segment.
You didn't let me take the lead.
That's what it was,
Christian.
How's a good segue?
You took over.
Kevin, thanks for bringing that up, man.
You're welcome.
I'm just having a hard time approaching that subject. I'm not good with confrontation and stuff.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, you are. Best.
All right, I hope that you guys hear Jane fumble twice in the next segment. Stay tuned.
A little bit can always go such a long way. That's something about
Hey, welcome back to the show. We got our friend here, Jeremiah Spears, mega fan.
Woo! Jeremiah is no longer a mega or super fan. Jeremiah is just downgraded to just fan.
Yeah, but it has to do with the job. I mean, you got to admit, I got a pretty mean boss. Pretty slave driving.
In case you were unaware, Jeremiah probably showed up to the show around maybe episode 19-ish. I forget what episode you were on.
Yeah, I think it was a little earlier than that.
Yeah. But Jeremiah used to be the biggest fan of this show. He kind of was our starting audience of one.
Yeah. You were writing in every week.
Every single week. Well, you know, I stopped writing in because I called in one time. You didn't use my voicemail. So I figured, hey, I mean, you got a voicemail from me. So as soon as you use it, then I'll send something else in.
Well, we'll have to pull that voicemail out of the woodworks. But Jeremiah,
out of the archives.
Yeah, out of the archives. Now, Jeremiah came in. What?
I can interview him.
I'm just setting up who Jeremiah is.
All right.
Then we can get into
You've
the interview.
You've known him longer, so I guess that's okay.
So I'm just, Jeremiah, if you didn't know, he was on staff at the Well as our facilities director. And then probably about 3 months ago, Jeremiah's job has changed. And so, Jeremiah, why don't you tell our audience of more than one, what your job is.
Yeah, I moved into the spiritual formation director position for WSM, so the student ministries, overseeing spiritual formation for junior high and I should say middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. So meeting with leaders, hanging out with them, discipling them, and encouraging them in their walk with God, as well as how they disciple students and overseeing life groups and a little bit of missions. So...
Oh, I thought you were interviewing him, Jane.
No, Christian, you already started.
I'm just wondering, like, was there dead time on the air?
Oh, that's your fault.
Hey, Jane, what are you doing right now?
I'm interviewing Jeremiah.
No, what are you doing?
Jane is playing Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail
makes
on her
me really
phone.
Feel cared for,
Spotted.
Jane.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, let me talk to you.
I am listening attentively.
Jeremiah, who's your favorite life group leader?
Jane, I have this really good life group leader, and she's pretty great at meeting with students, and her name's Jane Fawcett.
So Jane does what you're taught in journalism class 101 is to never make the interview about yourself, always make it about the interviewee. So one for one here, Jane.
But she was asking me who my favorite leader
she's
was.
She's shooting darts at Christian via eyes.
Anyways, Jeremiah, maybe go into a bit of a in-depth conversation about what exactly your role does. What have we kind of defined your role as for student ministries here at the Well?
Yeah, so I write curriculum for the middle school and for high school. So it's just kind of the way we've based our life groups is more of a question-based life group. And so as opposed to leaders just kind of talking at students, they're really engaging with the students, getting the students involved in the conversation, so that the students can flesh out their faith and make it their own. And so we put together a curriculum. And so I write that during the week, give it to the leaders. And then I get to go to life groups during the week as well. So I bounce around every week to a different life group, hanging out there, seeing how things are going, hanging out with students, and get to meet with leaders on a weekly basis. Just really encouraging the leaders in... really discipling students and what that looks like on a day-to-day basis, as opposed to, hey, we get together 2 hours on a Wednesday.
Right. And for those listeners out there who don't know what like a question-based ministry is when you're talking about this, I think it's just a good to open that up to our listeners to make sure they understand kind of like what I really expect from you, in that like our life groups would not be a place where it's just adults talking to kids. It's kids really doing the bulk of the talking and leaders doing a bulk of the listening and asking really good questions.
Totally. You know? Yeah. I think the best way to put it is like, if you think of a counseling session, obviously there's multiple ways to do counseling, but your typical counseling session, you have a counselor who they ask really good in-depth questions. And it really gets you to process what you're going through, how you're feeling about things. And so it's kind of how we've structured the life groups is in that way, is getting the leaders to really ask direct questions to students so that it really gets them to process their faith. Students, it's easy for us to get caught up in talking about our faith, and it just kind of becomes something that's so abstract. It's like, oh, I give you the typical Jesus answer, you know, read the Bible, whatever, but how does that really play out in your life?
Right.
So that way, you know, when they get into college, when their philosophy teacher starts poking at Christianity, they've really said it in themselves, like, man, I believe in God. I know God exists. I believe Jesus was who he said he was. Like, their faith is their own, and they don't go through this crisis outside of high school. They can do it in high school, really, with a leader there who loves them, pursues them, and directs them to Jesus. So
I feel like that's such a, like, real shepherding role right there. Like, allow them to have hard questions and allow them to struggle through who Jesus is. Do they want to follow Jesus? And in a... sounds weird. In a controlled setting.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That way you're sitting in front of a leader and you're able to, like, challenge them with questions or whatever. They're able to, it's a safe place for them to be completely confused.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, as
yeah.
opposed to at a college, a secular university, where if you're completely confused, you're going to come out of that class even more confused.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Yeah.
I think we're working out the kinks of it though.
Yeah, totally.
Because I feel like when you leave a kid so confused and you don't respond to them, like I'm meeting with a parent about this exact thing, but it's like when you don't respond to them and you just sit there and you listen and you just ask them questions, it makes them feel like you're condoning what they're thinking, but you're not. You're just not responding with a sermon.
Yeah. Totally. Well, and that's the I think that's the key role in what does it mean to disciple someone? And it's, you know, it's this idea of, like, you are allowing them to ask questions and you're allowing them to really struggle with things, but you are very much firm in pointing out answers, or I should say directing them to answers in a way where, you know, we're not just sheepishly just saying, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? It's really like, hey, like, what do you think about this?
Right.
Okay, what does the Bible say about this? And directing them to that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, because the whole idea of instruction and directing people is very, like, evident in the Bible. Like, you know, instructing people with the word. And so, like, there has to be a good balance of question asking and telling. Like, no, you do need to be guided back to the truth.
Yeah, even if you look at Jesus and the way he discipled his disciples, like, he was very loving and allowed them to kind of struggle with things, but it was very pointed in what the truth was, you know. And I mean, even you look at Judas Iscariot, even Jesus, the perfect discipler, had one kind of fall away. So there's that danger, but there's obviously, like, as a leader, I mean, you have to be very pointed in really directing a student to what is biblical truth.
Totally.
Yeah.
Jane, did you have any questions?
Jeremiah, how's your video debut?
My video debut?
Yeah, you've been in a couple videos.
Yeah, you know, we do some videos for the high school group. That's kind of the way we run life group. We do them at houses. And so each house has a certain group, age group. So freshman house, sophomore house, et cetera. And so for those houses, we do videos. And, you know, the videos for me were, I think first video, I was terrified. And if you watch the video, I just kind of stood in one place. I said what I needed to say, but I was very scared. Got a lot more comfortable the other day.
Say what you need to say.
The other day, I brushed my teeth on camera.
I had some kids, as we were watching it, they're like, what?
You brushed your teeth?
His teeth in a lesson? And then he's like, spits too. And then, like, everything. Like, full on brushes.
Were you just pretty busy that day?
Yeah,
you had to put everything together.
I had to do two things together. No. So what we're learning with video, I guess you could call it video ministry, I guess. But what we're learning with videos is, how do you best make a video that really keeps students engaged? And so part of that is you take them along on a journey. So at the beginning of the video, you kind of start somewhere. And at the end of the video, you end. So for us, what we did was we filmed inside of a hotel. And it was me getting ready to leave. So I was making my cup of coffee. I was sitting on the couch chatting with them. And then I went in and I brushed my teeth. And then after that, I went in and packed my bags. And then the last scene, you know, I'm talking again and it's me standing by the door. And then I end the scene, you know, with some words of wisdom. And then I grab my bag, I open the door, I walk out the door, and then I leave the hotel by getting in the elevator and leaving. So if you look at the whole video as a whole, it fits together if you're thinking of it that way. But high schoolers aren't necessarily thinking of it that way. They're just like, why are you brushing your teeth? Like, I don't
why
get it.
Why does the man in the elevator have his sunglasses on?
Yeah. Wait, I didn't even notice that he had his sunglasses on. Yeah,
sunglasses on.
What's funny is that video is the prime example of, like, it's still a work in progress, but, like, the videos have definitely gotten better since the beginning.
Oh, for sure they've gotten better.
And,
just like the Spoutcast.
It's true.
Oh, we just get better and better.
But if you wanted to check out Jeremiah videos, you could just check out our WSM website. But before we close here, Jeremiah, I just want to give you a moment too. I know we have a lot of young adults that listen, because the young adults, they're hip and they are into podcasts.
Yeah.
And this podcast is pretty hip.
There are some adults out there as well that are young at heart. And they, too, listen to this podcast. But I just wanted to give you an opportunity to just say, hey, if you want to be a leader, here's a great way to get involved and all of the above. So,
yeah, man, we are definitely looking for leaders in both middle school and high school to lead life groups, to come hang out with students and just check it out, to come to Sunday Experience and help out. So, yeah, if you wanted to be a leader, you could email myself at jeremiah@thewellcommunity.org. You can go online to our WSM webpage from thewellcommunity.org.
Right.
You can get directly there, and there's a way to sign up to be a leader. You can email my wife, cspears@thewellcommunity.org. And there's so many areas to plug leaders in,
right,
that, you know, if you have an area where, like, I don't know if a small life group with four students is my thing, you know, maybe you come to Sunday Experience on a Sunday and you hang out. It's more like a smaller youth group. We'd love to have you join us. Like I said, we have from 7th grade to 12th grade. So whatever your age range is, we'd love to have you.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you being here. And if you do want to sign up, just rewind this podcast 30 seconds and hear all the information on how to sign up. But,
or go to the website.
Or go to the website, wellcommunity.org/WSM. Jeremiah, thanks for spending some time with us today. We hope that you will get back to your status of super fan one of these days.
Maybe one of these days.
All right, man. Thanks for being here.
For our final little portion here, we're going to just have a couple announcements. If you are interested in serving
Sweden
with our...
She's totally Sweden.
Shut up! If you would like to volunteer with our WSM, either high school or junior high, we would love to have you contact Christian or Jeremiah, or go through the Well website, and you can get more information on that. Also, this Sunday is our Christmas services, so come to your service ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you go to the 7 o'clock service, wear an ugly sweater, because it's an ugly sweater party, and that should be a really fun time.
And bring food.
Yeah.
And bring food. Oh, that's right. It is potluck. And then in a couple weeks on Christmas morning, we will not be having services. So we'll be having home church. And there will be more information on that coming from Brad himself. He has some good pointers on how to have a great home church with your families.
Mm-hmm. No service on PM either.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's no services all day.
It's all right. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spoutcast. Or twitter.com/thespoutcast. You can also email us your one and why for this next week.
What is the one and why?
That's a very good question, Sarah, because the one and why for next week is, what is your favorite Christmas present you've ever received and why? We are then going to take about a 2-week break over the holidays because there's Christmas and then there's New Year's. And then
my birthday,
will be back.
You're breaking for my birthday?
When's your
Christian,
birthday, Jane?
You've been burping a lot this episode. When's
I have seriously so much gas. I've been squeezing it in. that it is literally squeezing coming out the other end.
Oh my gosh. And that is not, that why it's stuffy in here?
That is not stuffy. A joke.
There was a point where I was like, somebody's feet smell. Dude, you farted.
I'm like,
does his fart smell like feet?
I'm literally shoving my butt into the chair.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's so bad right now. So.
I want to get out of this room.
Yeah. So email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com your favorite Christmas present and why. And this is a spout every week. And
this feels right.
We're such a family. I love it. We're such
all
a
right,
family.
I'll close this out since you're distracted. Kay. Hey, thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next week. This is a spout, and we are is out.
Should all the acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all the acquaintance be forgot and days of all blank sign?